Our Father, again at almost the close of another day of life, we draw aside into thy holy presence, glad to do so at the beginning of another gospel meeting. We come before thee in the name of thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that there's no other name that is acceptable in thy presence. There's no other person through whom we can come. And we acknowledge that there is no merit in ourselves, but we bless thee that all merit is in him. He is the altogether lovely one. He is thy well-beloved Son. We vow again to worship thee this evening for the Savior himself. As we have been on occasions during this day, we bow and offer thee again our evening sacrifice of praise for the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his precious blood. We thank thee for the moment when he left the glorious splendors of heaven and he came that long journey down to earth to give to us eternal life. We'll never be able to fathom the depths of love that brought the Savior from the throne above. But we bow in wonder and holy adoration tonight and thank thee that he came into the world to save sinners. We bless thee for a perfect life that he lived here amongst men, bringing absolute joy and satisfaction to the throne of God. But we bless thee that he came not to live, he came to die. He came to pour out his life on the altar at Calvary. He came to give himself a ransom for all. And we bless thee for the death of the cross tonight. We can never understand what it meant for the Savior there to be nailed upon Golgotha's tree, the agonies that were his, that which he knew in his body. But Father, we can never plumb the depths of the sorrows of his soul when God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. We hear his cry, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. All thy waves have gone over me. We just bow and thank thee for the cross. We thank thee for the Christ that suffered. We bless thee tonight for the finished work and for the filled throne and the full salvation of which we've been able to sing this evening. None may perish. All may live, for Christ has died. And so we bless thee for the occasion of our coming again this evening, another time to proclaim this salvation to perishing men and women and boys and girls of Limavady. We bless thee for every soul that is gathered. We bless thee for every soul that has come that knows not the Savior. And we look to thee that thou wilt speak in this gospel meeting, that thy voice might be heard above the voice of those who would stand upon the platform, and that tonight there might be the mighty power of God manifested in our midst, and that souls who have come might have come to hear what God the Lord would say, and that God would speak to them this very night, leading them to understand their need and their guilt and their danger this Monday evening, and bring them to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have come these evenings that we might see souls saved. We have come that we might hear of names being written in heaven. We have come that the loved ones of Limavady might be gathered in before the Lord would come. The neighbors and friends might know their sins forgiven. And so we pray that thou wilt work a work in our day, that our eyes might behold it, that we might even wonder that God is working in such a way we believe that thou art able to work. And we pray that it might even begin tonight. So we commend ourselves to thee with our brethren, thy servants, wherever they herald the cross. We pray that they might know thy presence and thy power, and that many might be saved. We leave ourselves before thee. We look to heaven for blessing. In the Lord Jesus' worthy name, amen. Now our second hymn is number 137. 137, Calvary's cross is to the sinner. All is hope and all is stay. Hoary head or young beginner, rich or poor may come today. Calvary's cross, the only refuge. Calvary's cross, the only plea. Calvary's cross, O blessed shelter. On it God's salvation see. We'll rise while we sing 137.
Calvary's cross, it's the blessed shelter. Thank you.
Now, again this evening, we would like to thank each and every one for coming along to the gospel meeting. We want you to know most sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, that we're glad that you've come along tonight. It's good to see the hall so nicely filled, and we thank you for taking up your time to come to be with us this evening. We know there's many other things this Monday night you could have been doing. It's cold outside and you could have been at home at the fire. But we thank you as you've come to spend these precious moments with us, as we would again gather around the Word of God and would think about things that are eternal, and would think about your soul and where it will be forever. We will be here each night, if the Lord be not coming, we're spared, Monday to Friday at 8 o'clock and on the Lord's Day at 7:30. We would ask you early in this series of meetings to make up your mind to be here every night. To make up your mind that cost what it may, you won't miss a night. And to make up your mind that at this time you're going to have salvation. It's those who really want it. It's those who really go in for it that get God's salvation. And if you really want it, you can have it. None need perish, we've sung. All may live, for Christ has died. We ask you to come back each night. We meet to pray every night at 7:30. And of course we pray during the day and during the night. Brethren and sisters, join us often at the throne of grace. And pray earnestly that God will move and save our neighbors and friends at this time. So we thank you for coming and make you so welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and at chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is all I wish to read, and I trust that God will bless the reading of his word again this evening. Now I think that all of us in the meeting this evening would probably agree with me if I was to say that the town of Limavady is deeply divided. If I was to say that for many, many years, likely back to the very foundation of the town, it has been deeply divided. And if I was to say to you that as long as Limavady is still here, as long as there's still the town, it will be deeply divided, perhaps you would tend to agree. But you see, likely already, your mind is going to some religious divide. And already your mind is beginning to think about all the divisions that we could find in the town, were we to drive through the streets and see the various places where men and women and boys and girls would go on a Sunday. But you see, I'm not thinking that it's deeply divided along religious lines. And you might say, well, it's deeply divided as far as its politics are concerned. And I'm not so concerned about that this evening. And maybe you're saying, well, socially it's divided. There's those that are very rich and there's those that are poor. There's the haves and the have-nots. But I'm not concerned about that this evening. I want to look just for a few minutes at the commencement of the gospel meeting about the division that really matters. The only division that really counts as far as God's concerned. And we have it here in this verse number 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that we have read in your hearing. A division that really matters. What is that division? You see, if we live in a verse, there's a division to be recognized. And it's simply this: two groups of people
are found in this verse, and it's simply that, it's simply this: them that perish and us who are saved. Let us just simplify it even more tonight. Those that are perishing, the lost, and those who are saved. As we look upon our little audience tonight, we're assured of this, that it is so deeply divided. The greatest division that ever could be thought about on earth is present and inside the confines of this little portable hall this evening. Just a few souls gathered from all the myriads, the teeming billions of earth, and yet representative of every soul, of every society on earth, deeply divided along these simple lines. Those that are saved and those that are lost, those who are perishing. You see, I want to tell you, my friend, that as I turned it over in my mind, I understood, and it came home to my soul another time, that this is truly and really the only division that matters. Saved and lost. You see, as I was singing last night, my mind turned back down through the pages of history to April 1912. And there on the 12th of April, I think it was, that great ship that's so famous in 1999, the Titanic, it set sail from Southampton on its maiden voyage across the Atlantic Ocean. And as those people gathered, some 2,200 souls or something over that, as they went onto that ship, they were divided into classes. There was first, there was second, there was third, and perhaps there was even some who went on steerage, and they made their journey, and they were strictly divided amongst their classes. But you know, on the 14th of April, 1912, at almost midnight, that mighty liner, it hit that dreadful iceberg, and it began to sink, and in 2.5 hours, it lay at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, and many's a soul, yea, over 1,500 of them perished. And back in Southampton, in the days that followed, many people gathered round the offices of the White Line Star, of the White Star Line, and you know, they watched as every now and again an office boy came out and he went to one of two lists, and here's what the list said: known to be lost and known to be saved. And as he held up the names and he added them to the list, there was a gasp from the crowd. And the only class that mattered and the only division that mattered then was not first, second, third, or steerage, but it was simply this: were they saved or were they lost? You know, as men and women and boys and girls divide themselves in 1999, all the divisions, they mean nothing. The only division, my friend, that really counts in the light of eternity, and it's present in this meeting, and the only division that's going to matter when the end is drawing nigh, and when we all go to the end of the journey and move over to the other side into the great eternity. The only division that's going to matter is the division that's found in 1 Corinthians 1:18, and it's simply this: lost or saved, perishing or saved. Let me ask you, at the commencement of this gospel meeting, at the commencement of this little series of gospel meetings, which class do you fit into this Monday night? See, I haven't come here to ask you what religion you are. It's of absolutely no business of mine where you go on a Sunday. And I want to say I'm not in the slightest bit interested, and I will not be here to decry where you go. Where you go is your business. But I have come to ask you, my friend, if this was your last night on earth, and if you were moving out into the great eternity, I want to ask you a simple question. Down this side of the hall, let's get down to basics this Monday night and ask you from the front row to the back: saved or lost? Saved or perishing? Tell me tonight, are you sure of heaven as if you were already there? Can you go to a little moment in life's history, a special moment never to be forgotten, when you realize that at a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, but Jesus died for me? And that moment you were saved and born again and washed in Jesus' blood, and you started for heaven. 23rd of January 1967, as a little boy just before the age of 9, I was saved. My name was on the list in heaven that reads, known to be saved. And my friend, tonight, if I never reach Brisheen again, if I never see my loved ones this side of the great eternity, I want to tell you, heaven is my fatherland. And heaven is my home. What about the men and women and the boys and girls down this side of the hall tonight? Young friend, older friend, man who spent your life in sin and serving Satan well, tell me, how's up with your soul? Where do you fit into the division in the gospel meeting tonight? Oh, I want to ask you, you saved young girl in the meeting, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you born again and washed in Jesus' blood? Or are you amongst this dreadful group in this verse? Them that perish, divided by our condition in the sight of a holy God. As God looks down into this room tonight, he sees but two classes. Those that are sinners saved by grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb, whose sins have been forgiven. And those who are sinners in their sins, who live tonight as they were born, who've never been to Christ, who've never been saved, and who tonight are exposed to wrath and judgment. I want to tell you, it's time you were saved. I want to tell you, my friend, soon the door of mercy is going to close, and soon the days of gospel preaching will be done and passed forever, and soon the little door of the gospel hall will close, and there'll be no more time for you to be saved. I want to say that even before the Lord comes, your day of opportunity could be gone. You'll not be the first one that has sat in their last gospel meeting. You'll not be the first one that these two men who stand before you in all their limited experience, not the first one that we have preached to and discovered that it was their last time to hear the message. Oh, I tremble every time I stand upon this platform to realize that just 2 years ago, in the town of Ballymoney, one Friday night, I took a man by the hand out of Christ and without his Savior, never realizing, and nor did he, it was the last time he'd ever hear the call. In a few days, he'd be in eternity, and he never said he was saved. Tell me if it was you tonight. And tell me if by Tuesday morning, you left Limavady forever, and your soul has taken that last long, lonely journey to the great eternity. Tell me if it's heaven, or will it be hell? Saved or lost? A danger that is real. Them that perish. I'm looking into the face of men and women and boys and girls, and you don't intend to perish. I'm looking into the face of men and women and boys and girls, and every one of you expect to be in heaven. I'm looking into your face tonight, and maybe you don't even believe you're perishing. And if only by the power of the Spirit of God, it could be riveted upon your soul this Monday night, as you sit in this gospel meeting at just about 8:25, written over your pate by the Spirit of God and God Himself, is this one word: perishing. A danger that is real. See, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, we have got this verse that tells us that he that believeth not is condemned already. Oh, you say, we have to wait until the end of time. We have to wait until the end of the journey to really understand and to know whether it's heaven or hell. To know whether those good works will outweigh the bad. To know whether God will, after all, let us into heaven. I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, if you're not saved, if you've not got a moment when you repented of your sins, if you've not got a moment when you were born again, then settle it in your mind and get it ever so clear in your mind tonight. You're lost and you're perishing, and you're on the broad road that leads downward to destruction. Mm-hmm. But every one of us in this room was born a sinner. Oh, we told you that last night, you say. I want to say, by the grace of God and the help of God, I tell you every night, everyone in this room was born a sinner. Everyone in this room, as we grew up with boys and girls, we were stained by sin, because sin stains the soul. Sin defiles the soul. Sin makes the soul unfit for God's heaven. We used to sing, a little boy in Sunday school, I don't know if it's singing in the Lima Valley or not, but I love the little chorus, and here's what it says. It was riveted in my soul. There is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin, not to defile us, not to defile us shall ever enter in. Young woman in the gospel meeting, you're stained by sin tonight, you're defiled, you're unclean, you're unfit for the very presence of God. And as you're in your sins this evening, never having been saved, you can never be in heaven. Oh, my friend, it doesn't matter how good you are in the countryside. It doesn't matter what the people of Limavady think about you. It doesn't matter what your mother thinks for your father or your nearest and dearest. My friend, we must look at things as God sees them. He's no respecter of persons. And though you've never wandered far from the straight and narrow as you would look upon it, I want to say, if you've never been saved, if you're living as you were born tonight, you're stained by sin. What's more, you're separated from God. Or you maybe feel that you're near to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, sometimes I feel that God's so near. Sometimes I feel when I walk in the garden, when I walk in the hillsides, I can feel the nearness of God. I want to say it's only those who are saved and born again and know the Savior as their own that are ever near to God. It's only those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb that know the nearness of the presence of the Heavenly Father that loves us. If you're in your sins tonight, the Bible says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear, and you're separated. And heaven's door is closed. And over your pate is written this, perishing. Because there is a real sentence. Let me tell you this first Monday night, there is a real hell. 1999, newspapers don't talk about hell. They never report that anybody lived and died and went to hell. This day, this 1st of February 1999, thousands have arrived on the wrong side of the thick gulf. I want to tell you tonight, beneath our feet there is a hell, and it's more real than I can tell. Beneath our feet this Monday night, there are souls and they're more conscious and more aware than you and I are in this little gospel meeting. There's souls just now spending their first few moments on the wrong side of the thick skull. All their days they were perishing, but now they've perished. All their days they were going down to the pit, but now they've arrived. What a fearful thing it must be to arrive in that dreadful, dreadful abode. And the awful truth to dawn upon your soul. But this is really it. This is hell. This really is the place that the preachers told me about, that the Sunday school teacher wept about, that my mother prayed I would never be in. Now have arrived. I perish. I want to say, I say every time I preach and take little series like this, one soul from this audience would be far too many to arrive in hell. One soul from one family represented here in Limavady would be far too many to spend eternal ages underneath the wrath of God. Need not be so. These verses tell me of a death that is redemptive. These verses tell me of the only hope for perishing souls. These verses tell me of the only Savior for men and women and boys and girls that are going down to the pit tonight. I want to quote that beautiful, well-known verse in your hearing another time. It's a message for souls that are perishing, and it says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we not sing it in our opening hymn? None may perish, all may live. For Christ has died. What did he do? We've come to preach Christ crucified. We've come to preach the cross tonight to tell you that you don't need to be in hell. Why? Because the Savior one day, well nigh 2,000 years ago, he left heaven. He left the Father's side and he came down to be a babe in Bethlehem of Judea. He came to be a rejected, lonely man for 33 and a half years. He came to go to Calvary's cross to die. Came to bear the penalty of sin. And on the cross, for 6 long, lonely hours, he hung there nailed by the hands and by the feet. He was there, and he suffered agonies that tongue could never tell. He shed his precious blood. You know what I love? I love the words of the prophet. Here's what Isaiah said: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sometimes we sing the words of the hymn writer: Jesus, for the sinner bleeds. Nothing more the sinner needs. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. For the stripes we are healed. Through his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. My friend, tonight you don't need to remain in your sins and perishing. You don't need to be lost tonight, because you can be saved in a moment of time. You put your trust in the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And know for a surety that heaven is your fatherland and heaven is your home. Tell me, which is it going to be, saved or lost, heaven or hell? Salvation, are the words, the choice is entirely yours. If you trust the Savior of heaven, if you reject him and miss him and go on in your sins, you'll die and be underneath his wrath forever. Will you trust him for his name's sake?
Turn again in our Bibles, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. This time we're reading chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all, unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from amongst the dead, even by him, that this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A final verse or two in the last book of our Bible, please, in the book of the Revelation. And we'll read from verse 14. Look at the Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, I wonder will you be there? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God will no doubt bless this public reading from his precious word, along with what has already gone before. I haven't a doubt in my mind tonight that every believer in this gospel meeting has been touched. As they realize the realities of heaven and hell for eternity. The desire of the heart of every saint tonight is this, that you who are yet in your sins will be spoken to by the Spirit of God. I want to ask you a wee question again. Are you saved? Well, we ask the same question as our brother has already asked. We're not going to go into the political arena. We're not going to enter the religious field of this world. We're going to talk about time and eternity. Mother, can I ask you tonight, are you heaven-born? Are you heaven-bound? Or tell me, are you perishing? It's an awful thing for a soul to perish. My heart is gripped tonight. But I listen to our brother speak about perishing souls. Oh, may God forgive us, are we not soft enough in our preaching? You know, some men like to stand upon gospel platforms, but tonight I would rather be miles away, because eternal issues are at stake. Because you will either be in heaven or in hell for eternity. I want to tell you tonight, God desires that you should be in heaven. Angels tonight are looking on and longing to bear the tidings to the glory that you have got saved. Believers who met in the little hall to pray desire that you have been in heaven. And the few stammering men that stand before you desire to see your soul saved. But we're absolutely helpless. No angel can do anything for you tonight. And no man on a platform can do anything for you tonight. There's nothing I can do. But if I were a sinner tonight in this gospel meeting, out of Christ without a Savior, I won't move from off my seat. And I would cry to God for mercy. Or I would drop dead where I'm found in the gospel hall and drop into eternal fire. Man, it's reality. Heaven has implanted reality upon my soul since Christmas. The reality of time and eternity, of heaven and hell. Mother, you see, a father, you're born again. You say, I would like to be saved. I'll tell you more, I intend to be saved. I want to look over my audience eye to eye tonight. And I know within these walls the very fact that you're here present indicates that when the journey of life will be over for you, you hope to be in. But I want to tell you, all are not going to be in. And it's hardly likely all in this meeting will be in. Her brother said, if there's one in this meeting, Mrs. Salvation is one too many. Many a hand was shook at a series of meetings without a door. And her brother said, we never set eyes on them again. They're gone. They're gone forever. If God moves tonight in judgment, and he could, and takes the breath from your body, if you haven't Christ, you take it from men who care for your soul and authority of the old book of life before me. You'll be in hell before your body's cold. I have no joy in saying that, but oh, God might make me earnest before you tonight that you might realize I'm only a heartbeat away from it. You know, the world tonight doesn't like this type of preaching. But it has to be preached that man's a ruined sinner bound for eternal fire. This time you were saved. I want to look very simply at these texts tonight, and I want to speak to you first about the one and only thing. What is it? It's salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know, I know there are many important things in our world tonight. And when you're here, we family today, the pressure's on in the academic world. You know, they have to do well, and we're not going to decry that. It's an important thing to see them educated. And health's important. And it's nice, Father, to have a wee home for your family. You have to work hard to provide for them. We know all that. But there's only one thing important as far as heaven's eternity is concerned. What is it? It's your salvation. Have you ever learned, I need to be born again? You know, there's no heaven without it. The Lord Jesus Christ, when here upon earth, look into the eyes of the most religious specimen this world ever produced. His name was Nicodemus, and here's what the Christ of God said to him. Except a man is born again, he never, ever, ever see the kingdom of God. You see, one of the things that are hitting me hard in the days that are past is this, the darkness is upon the minds of those who have heard the gospel times without number.
You've heard it more often than many. I know of them that never heard it at all. And they wanted to hear it, and heaven never allowed them to hear it. Why, I know not.
And they wanted to get saved, maybe. But tonight they're gone. And you're spared in another gospel meeting. And your heart's as hard as the seat in which you sit. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. You're perishing. And you don't even know it. Many years ago, a carcass of a lamb was floating down in the Niagara River. And a large eagle came down and lit upon the carcass. And it began to chip through the icy body of that victim that was floating down the river. And you know, the people were looking upon it. And as it sat there, people were crying to try and scare the eagle away from the carcass of the river. Because it was getting nearer and nearer the rapids, near the falls. But it raised its proud head high, and it began to reach and hold its head high, it was so sure of itself. And they shouted and they threw stones that the eagle sat on. Till it came to the very edge of the falls, it began to flap its wings to fly away. But while it was sitting upon the victim on the ice, its feet had frozen. And it tried to fly and hung at the power to lift itself off the carcass of the animal. And suddenly it perished out over the ravine. You see, you're like that tonight. You're fast asleep in your sin. And I wish I had the power, but God gives it to no man to illuminate your darkened heart to see you're perishing. You know, it's a long time since I saw a person weep in a gospel meeting. Remember, left and I over Akakali one night, a girl sitting halfway up the hall on the side, and she shook in the very seat where she sat. And I never saw it in my life before, and never seen it since. But thanks be to God, he could preach, he could save. She realized she was perishing. And the all-important matter, mother tonight, girl tonight, boy tonight, is salvation. Are you going to go in for it? Are you closing your ears as you sit in this gospel meeting? Are you putting the matter off another time? You say, give me just that little longer. This world seems all so bright. I'll be saved when I am dying. I'll be saved, but it'll not be tonight. It might never be any other night. I want you to settle down tonight and go in for it. You understand that language, don't you? That means it becomes priority number one because it's the all-important matter. If you went along to a specialist who told you you had a terminal illness, I want to tell you that sport that you enjoy, you'll set it to the side. That sin that's so dear to your heart, you forget all about it. Because you realize, here's reality, it has hit me now. I'm going out! You might be in eternity before 12 o'clock. I want you to give heed to this all-important matter, the matter of salvation. Because you need it if you're ever going to be in heaven, because your sin is going to close your eyes. You see, that other man mentioned sin, and you mentioned it last night, and you're at it again tonight, and I re-echo what he said and reiterate it. That we will, by the help of God, every night tell you about your sin. Because unless you learn, you're lost. Learn, you're lost. You'll never ever want to be saved. You see, lost. Yes, you're lost. You know, in this gospel, we read about lost sheep, and a lost coin, and a lost son. And you're just like the lost sheep. You see, you're helpless tonight. There's nothing you can do to change that position. You see, what do you mean by being lost? It means you're separated from God. And that which separates you from God is your sin. You see, I know people that are worse. I want to tell you. The man that stands before you, in him's a heart that's so depraved. The very seed for every sin that ever was committed is within the heart of the man that stands before you. And you're no different. For the Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's standard is so high that none can reach it. Can you imagine trying to jump over a lake from one side to another? And you might be able to jump 20 feet. And someone more fit could jump 30 feet. And maybe a great athlete could jump 50 feet. But none could cross the other side. They all come short. And no matter how good your life tonight,
You come short of God's standard. You know, my wee wife never heard the gospel since she was 19. And when she sat in her gospel meeting, her brother Leslie Stoller was preaching. And she heard the gospel clearly presented that she was a sinner by birth and a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. And she left that meeting. She told the woman to take her along. She had not come back to her. She went home and she thought about it. And after a night or two, the woman approached her again. She says, "Will you not go back to the meeting? I'd like it very much if you would go." She was very fond of this lady. But she'll go another night. And she went again. And she heard in all its simplicity the fact that she was a sinner by birth. She came home again. She didn't go back to those meetings until they ended a week later. But a short time after that, another brother from my assembly in Saltonmuir started in a wee caravan of a thing over near Armoy. And some like only 14 there. But Joyce was there. Because the seed was sown, and she learned this. She says, "My biggest problem was learning I was a sinner." And whenever she took it in, she says, "You was a sinner, very little more dinner. Will you not swallow that pill tonight?" Our brother told you last night it's the hardest of all pills to swallow. That with all my living and all my upbringing, I'm lost. You take it in tonight, Mother. The old book says that that's why we believe it. Not the men on the platform are not judging you. But the book that lies before me as I come into this world that condemned me. And we have been born in that condition of sin. And the Bible says nothing defileth will ever enter into heaven. Heaven's a holy place for a holy people. Would you like to spend every night in the week in a prayer meeting? You say, "Would not." But tell me, how are you going to spend eternity in heaven with the Holy Christ of God? You haven't got a nature for the environment. You look at the Bible and examine these things. Don't you close your ears when you go home if God spares you. Open the book and learn from the scriptures that because of Adam's sin, I'm a sinner. You see, that's come through everyone's veins just like a virus. And it's in you. And it's in me. And it's going to take us into eternity, for the wages of sin is death. And the all important thing, the one and only thing tonight is salvation. Have you got it? And you need it now. I don't want you to put it off another night. You say, "Well, I can't get saved in these meetings." You know, the man that died on the tree is coming again. I was thinking about it today. As I came up the road, you know, the sun was shining lovely. And I said, "That's a good day, the Lord will come." And the city I was in, there are a team of millions in it. You know, I wonder, if the Lord came, they never know they heard something in the news. There are not many saved in Dublin. Not because of the Roman Catholic people. Don't get it wrong now. But because they have never accepted the gospel. I wonder, would many in Limavady go to heaven if the Lord came? If he came in this gospel meeting at 9 minutes to 9, would you go? I'm among those who believe. If God gives me an accurate lifespan, I'd be alive for the rapture. For I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of this door. You know, I'd love to see him. I'd love to see the man that died for me. And especially in the way I can't do now. With God given help, my appreciation for the fact that he died for me. But I want to tell you something. I must be honest before God. I don't want him to come tonight. For if he comes tonight, there are none that I love. I'll be left behind for judgment. Oh, dear soul, tonight is the all-important matter. It's salvation. It's the one and only thing. And you need it. And you need it right now. Not only have we the one and only thing in this text, but with the one and only name. Neither is there salvation in any other. I love his name. Listen to it. Jesus. Before he was born into this world, it wasn't given to men or to his mother or to Josephus Foster Fanner to get a name for him. You know, before children are born, parents are writing down on a piece of paper a list of names. If it's a little girl, oh, they have all those beautiful names. And if it's a wee fella, oh, they have a favorite name. Mary knew she was conceiving in her womb the eternal Son of God. But heaven never allowed it to let it for Mary to name him, you know. God says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, the world out there, they take that name upon their lips in blasphemy. But those of us who are saved can say there is a name I love to hear, and I love to speak its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. I've children I love, and I love their name. But there's a name sweeter than them all. It's the name of Jesus. It tells of his deity. Why? It means Jehovah the Savior. Whenever I think of the name Jesus, I think of heaven's interest and a world of sinners. Because this one that was called Jesus came from the ivory palaces. You know, a cattle on a thousand hills were his. All the universe was his by right. His throne, that throne above from all eternity. Cherubim and seraphim and all those holy beings worshipped him eternally. But one day, out of the ivory palaces he came. Down into this world and all its sin and shame. Why did he come? It was love brought him down from the glory. It was love that brought him down from the sky. Love in his heart for a sinner like you led him to suffer and die. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Not only does it tell of his deity, but it tells of his humanity. To take it in, you know, we have to take it in by faith. For I cannot comprehend how that in that man was deity absolute. 100% deity and 100% humanity. You know, he wasn't part God and part man. He was truly God and truly man. Oh, it was far beyond my ken to make the person of Christ. But this is one that has traversed this scene of time, a homeless stranger. There was tears that came from his eye. Many a time he was hungry. We read of him being fast asleep in the hinder part of the ship. This tells me of his perfect humanity. Why had he to be perfect humanity? Simply this. God demanded of Adam's race death for sin. And all Adam's race, there wasn't one who could die for sin. But God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, Christ took upon him perfect humanity for one purpose. That he might on Calvary's cross bleed and die for sinners. I want to take you to Calvary again tonight. I must of necessity take you to Calvary, the Almighty God of Lovely, when he said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall thy glory be, lest I forget thy love to me. Lead me to Calvary. Would you like to be saved tonight? Look not up at the man before you. Look not at the believer beside you, but turn your eyes to Calvary. Look full on his wonderful face. See upon Golgotha's tree, God's only well-beloved Son. Man had despised him and had rejected him and crowned him with thorns. Oh, he's not dying a martyr's death. Sure, tonight he's dying an atoning death. What does it mean? It means simply this. He's dying in the stead of sinners, a substitutionary death. There is my surety he firmly stood. He paid for my ransom his precious blood. Christ died for my sin to bring me to God. Oh, can you not take it in tonight? Jesus died for me. That's salvation. Oh, you're not asked to comprehend the depths of Golgotha's darkness. You're not asked to explain what Christ suffered upon the tree. I can never do it. I have no notion what Christ suffered upon the tree. But heaven just asked me to rest upon it tonight. God says all that the sinner requires is done. When the Savior said "'tis finished," everything was fully done. Done as God himself would have it, Christ the victory fully won. Man tonight is all done. There on Calvary's tree, kneeled alive to that cross. You ever try to picture that scene? Many a time I think about it. I see the Christ of God hanging upon that center cross. And written all over him, there's one text. Here's what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The one and only thing, salvation. The one and only name, the name of Jesus. The one and only way. There is none other. Don't you turn to works. Heaven says it's no use. Don't look at your self-righteous life. Heaven says it's no use. There is none other. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's through Christ alone. You miss Christ. You miss heaven. You can turn to religion if you want. Heaven will let you do that. You can turn to works if you want. Heaven will let you do that. When it comes to the end of the journey, and it will, if you haven't Christ, you have absolutely nothing for eternity. But I read to you Revelation 20 of the one and only end for the Christless soul. Do you believe, Mother? I'm talking to believing parents now. Do you believe, as you sit in this meeting, that that child of yours or those children of yours not saved shall be in eternal fire forever? The lake of fire. I think about it sometimes. Our friends who left this world for eternity not saved never left a testimony behind. I would give all that possessions very little to get them back for 15 minutes. I turn my eyes toward heaven, and I pray not for the dead, but I many a time I say, blessed Lord, is there absolutely no hope? Will they never be saved? I turn to the book, and I read of eternal fire. It's eternal fire that burns forever and ever. With a memory that will never will die. You remember everybody and the struggle of it. Whenever that door opens, many a time, as her brother said, I think about it, whenever the door opens when a soul maybe in their sleep or at work or at accident by the roadside, I know not. But whenever they enter eternity, they realized I'm lost. I believe that's the first words to leave the lips of a Christless soul. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. Yonder is heaven. It's so far away. But I'm lost. I'm lost. You'll leave the hall quietly tonight, won't you? This is maybe your last ever gospel meeting. I demand. May God save you for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, we bow before thee in the quietness of these eternal issues and give thee thanks that thou hast provided in Christ salvation for every soul in our gospel meeting. Thou knowest the end from the beginning, best of God. We give thee thanks as veiled from our understanding. We wonder tonight when they all be in, when the journey ends. Father, we leave them with thee. We trust that ere this night comes to a close, even in the quietness of the room, they'll settle the matter and turn to Christ for salvation. Give journey and mercies for those who travel. Bring many souls tonight to Christ, and we shall give thee the glory in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. I've lost the number of the hymn. Just give me a second or two, please. 365. Hell is darkness, it's deep, it's awful. Turn, poor sinner, turn and flee. Heaven is light, all bright and joyful, and its light may shine on thee. Verse 2 only, please. The meaning, feed it with the chorus. The meaning is not.